Bosma on Business is sponsored by the Bosma Group. The views, opinions, or advice offered by this show's host do not necessarily reflect those of News Talk 780 KOH or its parent company, Cumulus Media.
This is the News and Talk of Nevada. Now, Bosma on Business with award-winning entrepreneur Mike Bosma. Sponsored by Clifton Larson Allen CPAs. We're getting Northern Nevada back to business on News Talk 780 KOH and KKOH.com.
Good morning, Reno. It is Mike Bosma, your business savvy CPA. Hey, 10 o'clock, you Garden Show listeners, you want to hang tight. It's tax time, and I've got tax tidbits for you, how to monetize that garden without paying all of your crop in cash. Of course, I got Rick Redding in from...
here we go again.
Oh, here we go again. Pinnacle Resource Management. We need to, we're going to rebrand your company.
I'm just going to call it Rick.
Rick's Resources. We were just talking. Anyway, we'll get into that. And Zachary Javer from Unlimited Cups. It's a live call-in show. Give us a holler. 852-8255. You got tax questions, we are going to hook you up. You got financial market questions. Are you worried about North Korea? Rick's got all the answers. Of course, Zach Draper from 1 Million Cups. If you've got anything marketing or startup related, phone lines are open. Rick, is North Korea going to stop the world spinning on its axis and crash the markets?
You know, I'm of the belief that North Korea is just one of many problems we have today. So hang tight, folks. It's all going to be fine.
Yippee-ti-yay. Zach Draper, what's going on for 1 Million Cups?
Well, we're doing great. We just had our four-year anniversary party. We've helped more than 260 startups in the Reno community over the last 4 years and are looking forward to another great year.
What is 1 Million Cups?
So every week we showcase two local startups. We give them 6 minutes to present what they're doing and tell us why it's cool and kind of give an investor pitch. And then our audience of various people from the community, we have about 50 people a week that show up. They give them advice and mentoring through asking questions and helping them think through their business. So it's really the best spot in Reno to come and start getting integrated with the startup community and make connections.
Awesome. What time and where?
So we are every Wednesday morning at Swill Coffee and Wine. It's at 9 a.m. We start with networking at 8:30 with free coffee and bread.
Free coffee?
Yep.
Okay. I'm in.
I'm in. And of course, yours truly, shout out to the team at Clifton Larson Allen. Got through the big push on Friday, so we gave the team the day off today. It is April 15th, and so if you're out there thinking taxes are due today, you'll be filing early if you file them today. But it's okay to file early. But really, they're due on the 17th, which is Tuesday. Any idea why, Rick?
I don't know, Mike. Tell me why.
Why wouldn't it? Usually, if the holiday falls on a weekend, it's going to be Monday, right?
So, sure.
So that'd be the 16th or the 17th. I don't know. I'm just confused. I'm tired. It's been a long, busy season. But no, it's just because Emancipation Day.
Hmm.
Yeah. So kind of the way that all works is if Emancipation Day, Washington, D.C., if it falls on, if it's a national, it's a actually recognized holiday. And so, so it ends up being two dates on the 18th this year.
So they bump it.
Yeah, so they bump it.
Wow.
So
that's great.
Extra days to work your CPA.
Well, I think those guys in Washington work too much anyway, don't they?
Oh, don't get me started. But I'll tell you what, one of the things that I have appreciated is through the Obama administration with gridlock, that's good for business because that means they're not regulating us into the ground. And again, phone lines are open, 852-8255. You know you got that tax question that's been haunting you. If you've been following me on Facebook, I've been posting my tax tips, a lot of good feedback there. Just all the tax tricks, that I want to be able to kind of talk about some of those, talk about what's going on in business and financial markets and take your calls. So, like I said, 852-8255, 852-TALK. If you're a long-distance listener, and we know you're out there, 1-800-564-KKOH, although who uses 800 numbers anymore when... long distance is pretty much free. But if you need to call in, just, you can use that too. But follow me on Facebook. I like to be liked. That's like Mike Bosma. Because all my tax tips, I got eight more to share. One of them towards the end of the show today. So, Rick, when you're talking to your clients and doing tax planning for financial planning, what are the common questions that you run into?
Well, I think for most of them, they're concerned about the balance between tax now or tax later.
Right.
You know, and trying to get their arms around what's their what's going to be their cash flow requirements later. And that really kind of drives how much they want to go pre-tax, how much they want to go post-tax. You know, do the Roth strategies make sense? You know, that kind of thing. And getting them to understand what their real lifestyle needs are and what their lifestyle wants are. That's that's the challenge.
Do you want to live like a king and retire like a pauper? You know,
that's good.
Or just, you know, live like a prince and retire like a prince. You know, that's
You know, it's all about setting spending priorities. I think everybody has a budget. They just some have not recognized that they have a budget.
But you know, my approach, Rick, is, and I think it suited me well, is I just don't spend money. And it's hard for people to get their mind around that. But you know, when I did the Great Poverty Experiment, this was a couple years ago now, ratcheted income for two down to $33,000 a year. Now, that is still more than 80% of the world makes. So, you know, $33,000 a year, family two, and my life got better.
Simplification's a big deal. I mean,
right.
People have so much clutter. Mm-hmm. We see that all the time. You know, we've got a couple right now that have had a great life, been really blessed. You know, they've done well financially. But now they're of the mind, time to sell the big house, and it's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And now the arduous task of what are we going to keep, what are we going to get rid of, what are we going to give to the kids, what are we just going to flat sell and let someone else enjoy? And that takes an awful lot of energy.
It takes a lot to buy, it takes a lot to sell it. And then when you realize the spread between what you bought it for and what you sold it for, if you actually counted the cost, you would say, why in the world did I buy anything?
Yeah. I mean, you know, life's got to be fun. I think we really try to coach people when you're doing planning that there's got to be a balance. You've got to have enough fun along the way, controlled fun, to make pushing yourself, stretching, growing, changing, make that worth the effort. But also, you've got to have I hate to use the word bucket list, but when you can control your time, you've got to have a defined set of things that are important to you because those dollars are not going to be re-earned again. So if you're going to write checks and go do things, just don't do things to do things.
Right.
Do things that matter.
Well, yeah. So for example, I mean, it was very rewarding to me when I was doing the poverty experiment. I needed a barbecue. And so I trolled Craigslist free. I found me a barbecue. There was a lot of free barbecues out instead, but I didn't want to pay the $10 in gas to go get it. So I was just like, you know, kind of in the season, I'm like going, okay, so, you know, my Google searches were, can you tow a trailer with a Prius? So my deal, I was going to get a 2006 Prius, and basically, the blogs were like, it shouldn't matter if you're carrying the weight in the back seat or on a trailer, it should all work, you know. So, but I finally found a free barbecue in Sparks, and I paid the $3 in gas to go get it, so it was almost free.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. My wife, for anybody that knows my wife Teresa, she is one of the most talented people I've ever met. She, she builds and she can do woodworking, and she has a great passion for repurposing furniture.
Right.
And she'll find things, and she's one of the few women I know that, you know, a lot of times guys will hear their wife saved them a lot of money. meaning the six bags I'm carrying really, you know, could have been worse.
Right. And, you know, when you go to Kohl's, which I don't recommend anybody shop at ever. Just as a side note, somebody charged money on my Kohl's account, and you know, I haven't used my Kohl's account forever, and then I'm like, they ding my credit, and then I'm like going, hey, what, I haven't used that Kohl's card in forever, and they're like, oh well, you came into the store and you know charged. I said no, I didn't. I said pull the security camera, but I'm like, oh, it was somebody else that used your account. I said, okay, well, take the credit off. They're like, oh, we're not going to take it. I'm like, you guys are terrible. Like, I file a complaint. I'm like, on this, customer service has been horrid on that, on the back end of it.
Well, you know, at least they didn't drag you out. You know, that's
well,
probably
no,
a good thing.
It's 2 months and they still haven't fixed it.
Well, and that's shocking that you're not getting consumer protection on your credit card.
Well, like, the thing is, so they said, no, somebody else used it. You're not responsible for it. But I said, well, you got to take it off my credit. And they're like, oh, well, you know, that's in review. And I'm like, you guys are killing me. But anyway, so that's like United Airlines, you know, yeah. You find that some of the, you know,
that was a weak attempt at a joke a minute ago. I thought, yeah, you didn't get gagged and dragged off the, out of the men's department.
Not yet. Not yet. But, you know, yeah, so I figure, you know, United Airlines, of course, they're going through a lot of turmoil right now. But if you've flown anywhere at all, you know that that's just how the airlines, they are. You know, they just really don't care. You know, I fly American a lot. And now, granted, I've never been gagged and bagged, drug off a plane.
You'd have been tasered, I'm sure.
But the thing is like, you know, they lock the door. They don't care. They just don't care. And it was like, you know, they forget they're in a customer service industry. You know, Zachary, you know, is talking about all these startups. You know, it seems like a lot of people are trying to make a buck or two doing the better service, better mousetrap approach. What are you seeing out there in startup land?
Well, we're seeing a lot of the startups that are actually moving to Reno, so our Economic Development Authority is doing a great job of enticing some of those to come in.
Doug Irwin, Brian McArdle, and their crew doing a great job.
Definitely. So we've seen Cycle.io just move to Reno. They are a containerization, cloud computing type company. Breadware just moved here. Both of them will be coming in to present at 1 Million Cups sometime in the next month or so.
Okay, awesome.
We're seeing a lot of – Reno's always been good at – not necessarily tech startups, but object startups like Coalition Snow, who makes skis and snowboards for women that don't suck. Like, they are a great example of the type of startups that we have in this area, more product based.
Right, and so they're more, and so we're starting to morph into more of the technology sector.
We're seeing a little bit more of it, yes, especially with, you know, Switch is here now, Tesla, Apple, some of those big companies, and that helps entice the smaller startups to really get going.
Right. So is Apple a technology company or a product company?
I would argue they're kind of a combination of both. Mainly, right. They're cloud computing. You know, they've got a bunch of servers and things, and that's where you start to see that.
And once they figure out iTunes, right, that's where they start making all the money.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
No. So that's 8x282.55. We got the panel here. We're all about helping your business, helping your idea. If you've got an idea as far as maybe what you want to do to, you know, make a couple nickels, to have something rubbing together in your pocket, give us a call, 8x282.55. Phone lines are open. You got those tax tips. I'm going to come up with the first tax tip right after this break. It's Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KUH.
Got a business question? Grab the phone and call Mike right now at 852-TALK or 800-564-KKOH. Bosma on Business from News Talk 780 KOH. You're hearing Bosma on Business. Life's too short. Let Dave Preston help you enjoy it on Weekend Magazine today at 11 on News Talk 780 KOH.
Welcome back to Bosma Business, your host, Mike Bosma. Hey, if you're in the south part of town, you want to swing by DeMonte Ranch High School all the way till noon. It is Life Church, the amazing egg race. About 50,000 eggs. Take the kids, the family out. They got cotton candy. They got popcorn. The amazing Jill Bosma out, sir, manning the popcorn booth. Climbing rock walls, just whatever you want. We just, Life Church just does that just to love on the community a little bit, show the love of Christ to those that are out there as we kind of an Easter weekend and the Easter season. And just, you know, one of those things, went to the Good Friday service last Friday, and I guess that would be yesterday. And I was just amazed, you know, I had just that moment, just think about how incredibly blessed I am about the amazing advisors, amazing clients, amazing team, and amazing family. Just very, very blessed. So just hopefully you and yours having a great Easter weekend as we celebrate Christ's resurrection. So you swing by Life Church and grab some eggs. It's good times. The other thing I got going on in studio, Rick Redding.
Here.
Chief Cook and Bottle Washer, Pinnacle Resource Management. Now, Rick is my financial advisor extraordinaire.
Yeah.
He's the one that kind of keeps my finger off the sell switch every time something goes nutty in the news. Otherwise, I just stay in cash.
Sure.
Are people doing that?
You know, there's been a lot of talk about getting completely out of the markets, and anybody that knows me knows we don't have a torrid love affair with stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. But with that said, there's always opportunity. So you've got to have some sort of analytical approach to be able to ferret that stuff out. We believe very much in the algorithmic models, things that are going to take the emotion out of it. Sometimes you are out, but it's out for valid rules-based reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you're in when your gut says you shouldn't be, but the data screams you should be, that kind of thing. And
well, what I found, Rick, is I just should do everything that I feel the opposite. So
contrarian type?
No, it's because it's like I feel like buy. I remember back in the day in the dot-com bubble, I wanted to teach my sons financial stewardship. So I said, if you can save $20, I'll put $80. We'll open up an account.
Sure.
And we did, you know, got the stockbroker guy and said, what do you buy? And he says, oh, you know, Coca-Cola. And we bought Coca-Cola. It's never, we bought it on the day that it's peaked. It's never been back since.
Well, you know, it's not uncommon. Probably since we're getting into the dialogue, I should probably say securities are offered by Madison Avenue Securities, Inc., member SIPC, FINRA, and my opinions are my opinions, not theirs.
So, not theirs. And, yeah. And if you listen to a radio show and you invest, you are your own worst enemy. Okay.
Yeah. But no, you're right. I think one of the things I think people tend to forget, those that have really made it via the market didn't do it through buying and holding. They bought low and they sold high.
Right.
And the challenge with that is there's a steady drumbeat. You can get Tony Robbins writing books saying, oh, yeah, you know, listen to these really wealthy guys that didn't do it this way, but you're not smart enough to do it the way they did it. So just buy a Vanguard no load mutual fund and hang in. And to me, that's just so disingenuous.
Okay.
You know, because at the end of the day, anything you consider an asset, you've got to have some sort of quantifiable way to figure out if you're overpaying for it or not.
Right. Well, but the thing is, I was explaining to the team on yesterday, is you have to put money into it, right? You'll always have zero return on zero investment.
Yeah, and you don't swing the bat, you're not going to get a hit, right?
Right. It's it. It's how that goes. And so the rule to accumulate wealth, right, over time, you have to spend less than you make.
Sure, sure.
And whether or not that, you know, the stocks go through the roof or through the floor, it doesn't matter. You accumulate, as soon as you invest the money in something that you consume and not in something that's fungible, you are now worse off rather than better off. So,
sure.
But anyway, so just for fun, just saying. So Zach Draper, 1 Million Cups. What are some cool companies that are popping out there?
Well, another one in this community that is getting a lot of attention right now is called Filament. They just closed a Series B round and raised a ton of money, but they make a cool Internet of Things connected board that gives companies' equipment ways to connect to the network securely.
Okay, so instead of like the equipment equivalent to the USB adapter dongle that gives your wireless keyboard, you can just do that with all kinds of equipment.
You can think of it that way, yeah.
I have to try and keep it simple.
Supplement dumb machines, older machines,
right,
and make them smart. So.
All right, if you can make things smarter, you should be able to make a buck.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things I was talking about, tax tips before the break, so far, of a dozen or so tax tips I posted, the one that I think I've got the most traction on is the backdoor Roth IRA. Backdoor Roth IRA. You know, that's invested. Everybody should be. I mean, there is no reason for you not to do this. So basically, you say, well, I have a retirement plan. I make too much money to do a Roth IRA. Bosma, hello. And I'll say, well, Rick, if I went to your office and said, Rick, I'd like to open up a non-deductible IRA.
Sure.
I can do that, right?
Sure you can.
As long as I've got earned income, I can do that.
Sure.
And then I can convert that non-deductible IRA into do a Roth conversion.
That's exactly right.
We call it backdoor Roth. So anybody can have a Roth IRA. And the thing that I love, love, love about Roth IRAs is, you know, if you get that flyer where all of a sudden you want to invest in maybe a startup or something like that, you think it has a ton of potential, that's where you invest it, right?
Yeah.
So just imagine if you invested in Google, you put your $3,500 in Google, you know, in 1990, right? What it would be worth today, right? And it'd all be tax-free.
Hallelujah.
Right, tax-free. What you said, Rick, and it absolutely resonates, so you need to be able to exit that and not pay a bunch of tax,
sure,
right? Because
sure,
otherwise, you're going to take 23.8%, and that's going to go poof, going to go away. And then you're left with – but you do it in the Roth.
Oh, man.
And you sell it when you need to sell it.
Exactly right.
Pull those marbles off the table. So that's – you know, I'd say tax tip number one for the tax show.
That's a good one.
So the backdoor Roth IRA, everybody can do it. And people, and that's the people's mentality is like, well, once it's in the IRA account, I can never get it out. But if it's a Roth IRA, right, you can get it out, right? You can get what you put in, you can get that back out penalty free.
Sure.
And as long as you leave the earnings that it made in, then so it's your money. It's just, so who doesn't do that?
Yeah, that's a great, and it's really great strategy for college planning.
Right.
You know, that versus other...
Right, 529 tools. Plans that don't make any money.
Don't make any money, or high
fees, yeah.
High fees make you crazy. But there's a lot of things. The other thing, too, we're seeing more and more of, Mike, is in conjunction with that strategy is people are so enamored with appreciation. But remember, if you get 9% or 8% in pure cash flow out of an asset versus 9% in appreciation, it's the same deal, except the cash flow you can actually spend without cannibalizing the shares.
Right, right. So return on investment. So Zachary Draper from 1 Million Cups, you're talking about like Filament, right? Mm-hmm. And so raised a bunch of equity. They're probably a C corporation. The one thing just says, we'll call it the bonus tax tidbit, that I see everybody mess up, is there's this little exception, little known exception, that you can have a certain type of stock, and it's called 1244 stock, that basically if you have founder shares, you know, and you can take those shares and you can in essence have all or part of when you sell the company tax-free, or would be able to reinvest that money into other securities when you sell. And so it's just you got to hold up for 5 years, but they have to be founder shares. And what everybody messes up is when they incorporate, they're like, well, how many shares do you want? I don't know, 1,000, you know. Then as it needs more cash, they put the cash in, and now they're not founder shares, they're add-on shares, they don't qualify. So that's where it's just like, you know there's some limitations on how much you can do, and so you got to be able to get the thing properly capitalized to start, and then you get these great, very tax-advantaged assets that you can, if you have a loss, you can actually not take capital loss, take ordinary loss on. They're great, but you got to get it structured right. And what does everybody do? You know, they go down there and they incorporate their own entity, and then they find out that, oh, well, I didn't do that as well as I could.
Yeah, I think another thing people miss a lot, and I just had to do this myself, is when I got into the company and bought my shares of stock, there was a form that I had to send in, or a letter into the IRS, mm-hmm. to tell them I did this, and I had 30 days to do that from the stock grant,
right.
To make sure that I got the proper treatment for capital gains.
Right, and so that's called an 83B election. So basically what you do is you get the shares, and they're not taxable when you get them, but you say, hey, I'll make these taxable because they're granted at the same value that they're worth, you know, that they're worth. Fair market value equals grant value, recognize a gain of zero today rather than ordinary income tomorrow. That's what you got. Yeah, 30 days, you're right. You've got it attached to your return. But again, phone lines are open, 852-8255. More tax tips, more financial mastery, more marketing genius. It's Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KOH.
Got a business dream scribbled on a cocktail napkin? More insider tips to get you started coming up with Bosma on Business from News Talk 780 KOH. Now, back to Bosma on Business. All the political news that's fit to air. Sam Shad and Nevada Newsmakers Sunday at 7 a.m. on News Talk 780 KOH.
Welcome back to Bosma on Business, your host, Mike Bosma. Yeah, if you're just getting your taxes and you're shocked at the amount of tax you're owing, you probably need a second opinion. We do that each and every day at the Bosma Business Center. My firm, Clifton Larson Allen, the number 9 size firm on the planet, but that doesn't really matter to you. What matters is we're the largest firm serving closely held businesses. That's all we do. No SEC tomfoolery. We let the, you know, the big four deal with all that nonsense. But we just specialize in closely held businesses and succession planning. And as I was talking to Rick Redding, my financial advisor in studio from Pinnacle Resource Management, it's been a great first 3 months. And as we effected that merger, and I just realized, there's just too much out there for any one person to know. You need a lot of resources. The rules are insanely technical. And one of the things that I found is, you know, I know what I know better than anybody else, but all the other stuff that I choose not to know, holy smokes, I need somebody to call. And sometimes you just got to phone a friend in studio, as I mentioned, Rick Redding from Pinnacle Resource Management, and Zach Draper from 1 Million Cups. And Zach, you've also got another startup, your Tallage, that you started. What's up with that?
Yeah, I do. So I'm the CTO and co-founder of Tallage. It is a online digital marketplace for small business insurance. So currently we're selling workers' comp in Arizona, California, Nevada, and we'll be expanding to other lines of business coverage later this year. But what's really unique about this is you go in and you can fill out an application, and get quotes from multiple providers so you know you're getting the best insurance rate for your money. And then you can bind that policy right then and there online. You never have to talk to an agent. There's none of this back and forth, no sending faxes or emails.
Right.
You just get your policy and you're done. You move on with your life.
No, that's awesome. So, and how did you come up with the idea?
Well, my co-founder, Adam, has been in insurance a long time, and it's really kind of his brainchild. I came on and handled the tech side of things and actually made it a reality.
All right, okay. So because an online company without an online presence is no bueno.
Right, exactly. It doesn't go very far.
That's Spanish, isn't it?
Sí.
Okay.
I'm going to France in a week, so I'm working on my Spanish.
Very nice.
It's different. I'm not working on the right one. Not at all. Okay. There's a lot of similarities, I'm told.
I'm going at the end of May, so you'll have to give
really?
Me some tips
of
what you did and if you liked it.
The 1 year anniversary for the Mrs. Jill Bosma. I figured, hey, let's have that overlooking the Eiffel Tower. You know, that's
romantic.
Go big or go home.
That's very romantic.
Yeah. And then, then it's going to be just a big letdown for you too. But hey, just. Try and do well. But, as you kind of were brought on board for Talage to kind of build out the technology part of that, I mean, how did you structure that deal? Because a lot of times where this gets sideways is, things always take longer than they anticipated on the technology side. And
right. So for the first year and a half or so, I worked as a contractor. They had done a friends and family round and raised a little bit of money, so they paid me as a contractor mm-hmm. to start building out the product so they could get comfortable with what I was doing and with my skill level to be able to pull off the project. And then later in that, we decided to have me come on as a co-founder, and I took an equity stake in the company and have been moving forward from there.
Okay, cool. And how did you negotiate how much of the company you were going to get? Because it was worth zero before you showed up.
There's some truth in that. But typically, there's technology co-founders generally get a relatively small percentage of the company. And on top of that, I am still taking a salary from the company, so that needed to be taken into account.
Right.
So I took a relatively small percentage of the company, but it's fantastic.
Okay.
So.
And, you're always trying to, Rick, from a financial planning perspective,
sure.
trying to find that delicate balance between how much cash do I get, which, I can deposit and actually pay my rent versus,
sure. exactly.
Stock. And not a lot of people taking stock in a closely held company for anything.
Yeah, I think that's an indicator of how all in you are on the concept, right? How much you believe it's got legs versus it's just going to feed me this year.
Well,
so
90% of startups are going to fail. So sure, you take 30-50% of this company, you get paid nothing up front, you have no way to pay your bills, and a year later when that company fails, you've gotten nothing for your work. So I would much rather take a salary and a smaller percentage of the company.
Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, right?
Indeed. Yeah, yeah. Well, but that's what's funny. Is like I've always been a fan because, I've done venture investing, member of the Reno Angels, and I'm always just like, hey, if I believe in the technology, I'm just like, it's just a matter of, does the current executive team have the chops to execute mm-hmm. the business model? Or I have no bones. Like, hey, no problem. If you can't do it, I will.
Yeah. And I've been in a couple of startups in Reno that have failed. And I'll tell you, team is the number one thing I look at this point. Like, Talage had a really good team before I came on board. Two co-founders, one that knows the insurance and business side of it very well. Another who knows marketing and startups very well. And I'm like, this, add me in as a technical person, and we've got a good team.
This is going to be magic, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So they did the due diligence on you, you're kind of building out the platform. How much did you do on them?
Well, in terms of due diligence, I mean, I knew Adam personally because he'd been coming to 1 Million Cups, which, again, is a great spot to start connecting mm-hmm. with the community.
Now, is that 1 Million Cups in Reno or 1 yeah. Million Cups in the Bay Area?
Okay. Here in Reno. There actually isn't one in San Francisco.
Fascinating.
Yeah, they started and failed, and maybe at some point they'll start again. But there's so many things going on there that it just gets lost in the
right,
shuffle.
Right.
But it is 100 cities now.
Okay.
So just not the Bay. But looking at their background and figuring out, what has Adam done in the past? What has Matt done in the past? Like, that was an important part of me making the decision to join
right.
that team.
Yeah, and that's where I just say there's a big part of it, a lot of unknowns, and sometimes you have to trust. But the other part of it is you got to do your homework.
Right.
Hope is not a business model.
That's right.
But do your homework and then make an informed decision and jump in. And the only 2 cents I'd put in is, have a way to jump out.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? So, because that's where a lot of times just, things change and you might need to recalibrate expectations and then have that built in, because you got to negotiate the exit when you enter. so that way it's not problematic for the business to be able to succeed. So, but yeah, and that's where, you know, you mentioned, or I think I mentioned, but you mentioned the issue, the A3B election, if you're getting stock options in a company. The one thing, one of the reasons we were talking about startups, I'm a big fan of limited liability companies for not necessarily tech companies, but for more service-based business, is you can give profits interest in that, so it's not taxable to folks. So a lot of times people will say, hey, we're going to pay you in ownership in the business and compensation. You pay a partner, that's called a guaranteed payment. You give them ownership, but as soon as you give them a capital account, that's taxable to them. So phantom income, I got to pay tax on something I don't have any cash to pay the tax on. So you can give them what's called a profits interest and tax tip number three.
That was good.
Right? Yeah. Now you get the profits interest. It feels just like a capital interest. It's just tax-free. I like tax-free. It's just like music to my ears.
What a country.
But it's just like, again, you got to know the rules. And, you know, when back in the day, gosh, 2002, I was recognized as top technology person in the entire state of Nevada. But that was 14 years ago. That makes me an old man, right? Gee, many.
You knew how to use a calculator back then.
That's it. You know, the abacus. You know, I can fly to get the beads flying. So if you know what an abacus is, you know what I'm talking about. All right. So other things that we want to talk about on tech. What are some other companies that are out there popping? You talk about filament. What are some others?
Well, another big one that gets a lot of attention in Reno is called Dragonfly Energy. So they kind of redid the battery. They make lithium-ion batteries. Mm-hmm. They make some of the cheapest ones in the world that are highly efficient, specifically for boats and big equipment like that.
Okay. So Dragonfly Energy, and, you know, that's, you know, there's, you know, one of the things, the significant problems with alternative power is storage. And so you can riddle the storage thing. In fact, that's where, you know, Tesla, you know, if, you know, as they combined their Tesla with SolarCity, you know, there's this, you know, and really what it's doing is combining generation with storage, you know, because Tesla isn't so much, I'm sure it's a great car company, but they're a really cool battery company.
Right.
Right. So you wonder why, you know, Panasonic's all excited, because it's the battery part of that equation.
Exactly.
So, but then, like, how do you, you know, so what do you, was you talking financial planning, Rick Redding,
sure.
Pinnacle Resource Management, all right. How do you help counsel people when they're, you know, Zachary's going large in with his technology company?
Sure, sure.
How do you help counsel people through that? Well, what do they have to
move in with your parents,
you know, you have no overhead.
Well,
go
I tell
for
you
it.
What, yeah, that's the American dream, right? Getting your kids out of your basement. That's the one. But we really try to encourage people to be realistic. It always takes longer to achieve your desired profitability. Yep. It never happens as quick. You're going to have to put more hours in than you ever imagined. You're going to have to hold on to and maybe work a double gig to feed yourself before you start begging the partners to pull more capital out. We just try to get people to say, look, don't be afraid of being tired. Lack of sleep never killed anybody, really. And if you're going to do something great, you've got to behave like you want to do something
great. Right, yeah, and it's not an 8-to-5 job, right?
No.
Not at all. And in the startup world, you know, it's not uncommon for me to do 18-hour days and work on weekends. Like, if I wasn't here right now, I'd be at home coding on this. So
right.
That's just how it is.
Well, I appreciate you getting distracted to kind of share your entrepreneurial journey with our listeners. Again, phone lines are open, 852-8255. If you want to weigh in on kind of what your idea is, or if you got tax questions, you know, probably the other thing that I'm seeing a ton of is as people are making more money out there, they don't understand how estimated tax payments work. They don't understand how much they need to pay in and the penalties, because you're like, oh, penalties, that's bad. I'm like, well, you know, you're talking about startup and, you know, cost of capital. So if you don't make your estimated tax payments, you know, that's the pay-as-you-go program. But the beauty of it is you get to use last year as a marker. So if you're growing, you don't have to pay in what you made this year. You just got to pay in enough to cover 110% of last year. But there's other options to that. You know, for example, if you had a bad quarter on the front end, you don't need to pay anything in. It's called the annualized method. But what I tell my clients is, especially the ones that are growing, I said, if all of a sudden, you know, under today's interest rates are going up, but as of today, what it's going to feel like if you don't make your estimated tax payments is a 3% loan.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good money.
Mm-hmm. That's cheap.
Yeah, it's cheap.
And it's definitely shocking when you leave a day job and go work for yourself and start doing freelance or something, when you realize how much higher your tax rate is now, because right. you knew your employer was paying some stuff for you, but I don't think you really ever understand how much.
How much, right. And that factor I use is 25%. So if, you know, that's where, if, you know, gross that up. So if you're as an independent contractor making, you know, $100 an hour, but $25 of that is tax and all the other tomfoolery, and then $75 an hour is kind of what you're really, really charging.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't know. You know, it's like, I had no idea.
Yeah, they get the tax bill at the end of the year, and they go,
No, that's it. It's like self-employment tax for, you know, startups, you know, 15.3%, and it just wallops people because they're like, wait, I'm paying my regular tax rate, which is 15 or 25%, plus the self-employment tax, and I pay it all at the end. It's like 30%. Well, I spent it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what do I do then? So, and that's where, you know, a lot of times people on tax tip number four, a lot of people on Tuesday, they're deciding, do I extend my return if I don't have everything to file it, or what if I don't have the money to pay? And that's as I coach people understand that if you don't pay the pay as you go program through the year, it's like a 3% loan from the government. But if you don't pay on April and this year 18th, that's a 12% loan, so it's significantly more. Not quite hard money yet, and because it's non-deductible, it's going to feel closer to 16%. So you're kind of like, okay, well, how do you navigate that one? And you know, it's a lot more onerous. And of course, the last person on the planet you want to end up owing is Uncle Sam, because
mm-hmm.
he'll break your knees. He'll show up on your doorstep with
Guido,
a gun
huh?
and a badge. No, I'm telling you, it's like
the Sopranos. Is that the name? Yeah.
They you know. So, think of it this way, right? So, you go to the hard money lender. What's the worst they're going to do to you? They're going to beat you up, right? Well, you know, the government, if you don't pay that, they're going to hold you hostage and not even allow you to make money. It's called jail. It's just crazy. So, that's what we do is we scare the life out of people.
Motivational talk there.
Wow. So, but that's what to help navigate the tax side of that equation is just very, very important. Yeah, and that's where at least kind of the law of unintended consequences, you start a business, make sure you've kind of got the tax part of that dialed in, because it can be a whipsaw effect. And you never want to get to that spot where you've got to pay this year's tax and last year's tax. Otherwise, you're moving back in with your folks to no overhead land. So let's do this when we come back. It is the number one thing. Number one thing is we're kind of launching off the final filing date for this tax season. It's Bosma on Business. This is like 780 KUH.
Need one-on-one advice? Schedule a complimentary one-hour consultation with Mike and his team of advisors at 775-786-4900. Bosma on Business from News Talk 780 KUH. This is Bosma on Business. What would the founding fathers sound like on the radio? Find out with Mark Levin weeknights at 6 on News Talk 780 KOH.
Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma. Hey, if you need some help getting that extension filed or figuring out what you owe, we have a little bit of capacity, so give us a call, 786-4900, and we can make that magic happen. By Tuesday, so you want to get that sent in, that extension or tax return. And a lot of times, as I was saying before the break, make sure you at least make an estimate of what you owe. If you don't, if you just do zero, they can say you don't even have a valid extension. So just, you don't want to play that game. You want to get try and take a stab at whatever you think you need to pay and for taxes. And like I said, run it by us. We can... you know, we get very, very efficient at being able to look at stuff to kind of find out where people have gone wrong. Probably the biggest win of the season came from a referral from Jamie Kalicki. Second floor, had somebody who just needed a trust. There's some alfalfa farmers, salt of the earth. And these poor people had $100,000 taxable income, paid $40,000 in tax. And, you know, they had some advanced premium tax credit and they didn't realize that if, you know, that their kids worked on the farm, because that's what kids do when they live on a farm. And it's like, no, you were required to pay your kids for what they do. It actually reduces your net income, reduces your self-employment tax, and then got them underneath the threshold for the 400% of poverty, so that they're advanced premium tax credit was limited. I got a $22,000 refund. So it's just like, nice. And actually, that wasn't even, you know, that wasn't even a stretch. I was just doing it right. They just didn't know to tell their current provider that their kids worked on the farm. They didn't know to ask. And I was like, no, it's called child labor. You got to pay them. But they made it inherently tax advantage to pay your kids for that. And like, no, we paid them. Yeah, we, you know, there's like, we got a per head fee when they shoot gophers and whatnot to keep them out of, you know, says we paid them. Like, well, then you get to deduct it. So, but like I said, there's a lot of stuff like that that's out there. Just want to make sure you got that dialed in. Get the second opinion. We leave our listeners with the number one thing. So, as we're talking about kind of actually startups and taxes and financial planning, Rick, what's a good takeaway?
Well, I think number one thing is you've got to be careful not to just chase something you like. You need to chase something that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Wayne Gretzky, the reason that so many people quote Wayne Gretzky, said he's always trying to find out and skate to where the puck is going.
Ah.
And I think if you can make the determination that you need to break out and start your own business and or to change your business, be sure you're not living in the past. The buggy whip business is not thriving these days.
Right. Huh? Yeah. Go where the puck is going. Great insight. Zachary Draper, 1 Million Cups, and Talage, or Talage.
Talage.
No, I know.
Yep.
That's French.
I'm going there in a week.
We're practicing.
Bueno.
Number one thing, the startup world.
Well, I would say that if you are going to make this jump into doing your own business, your own startup, to make sure that you acknowledge that you're not an expert in everything and you find your taxes and things and pay those experts to do that instead of you trying to do it all yourself, because you're going to mess up and it's going to cost you.
Very, very well said. Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's the do-it-yourself pretty accounting and taxes. There's so many taxes now that are required to be filed. It's just mind-numbing. I had a casino in middle of rural Nevada, and he was just like, you know, we were going through all the filings that he had to do, and it's just like, yeah, it's like everybody wants information, you know, and you got to be able to put it together. There's penalties for not providing information, and so it's just pay the freight. And I'd probably say number one thing is, from a planning perspective, have a number in mind, and that when you get to this number, that's not you, right? So it's kind of like, as I explained to the team just yesterday, it's like if you're making $50,000 a year, your body's worth $1 million. Your body and brain's worth $1 million because it's generating $50,000. That's 5% of $1 million, right? And I said, so the more that your brain, the more your body can produce, you know, let's say you get that up to $100,000, then your body and your brain together is worth $2 million, right? 5%. Use 5% return on that. And I said, all you're trying to do is figure out, you know, if your consumption is $50,000 a year, you just, in order for you not to have to use your body or brain to generate wealth, you got to have it tucked somewhere else so it's doing the work for you. And so it's just a matter of like, if you need $1 million, you need $2 million, whatever that number is, you just need a number. And as soon as you have the number, I've seen people revolutionize their thinking. It's like, I just got to, you know, if it's $500,000 or whatever, it's like, I just got to get to that number. And so everything they do now is start navigating towards that number. And then as soon as they get there, whatever that minimum number is, you see that their life gets better because then they're not stressed out anymore. Because they're like, hey, that's it, doesn't matter, I can tap out right now. You know, and like you say, Zachary, congratulations on, your startup that's kind of sounds like it's going places. And that's where it's just, you know, a lot of times people, I grew up in the great state of Nevada. It's all about gambling. You know, you didn't take the chips off the table when they were there for the taking, and you would have been safe. So just know what that number is. Have a plan to get there. Of course, we are here at your disposal should you need to help our help. To help figure out either what the number is or what the plan is, 786-4900. Me and my partners at Clifton Larson Allen and then the other business advisors are really here, have made a life decision really to help people in need. 786-4900. Or give me an email, mike.bosma@claconnect.com. Especially some of the content on these tax tips, we can plug you in pretty automatically so that you can get pinged. When we have these thoughts and ideas. Again, it's Bosma on Business. Next week, more advisors, more entrepreneurs, more business. Awesome. It's Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KUH.
On air, online, on demand. News Talk 780 KUH.